No, it's from that little book. Vi hade en diskussion om att det skulle vara en... Ja, du ville ha det. Vi behövs, nej, det behövs inte då. Så. Ja, just. Ja, ja. Mm. Ja. Kommer han ner där? Ja. Okej. Okay. Mm. Ja. Klockan 7 var det va? 7 var det. 7 var det, 7 var det. Ja. Ja, 7 är det 7. Och du vet var det är nu. Torget där. Gamle torv. Gamla torvet. Gamla torget alltså. Ja, bra. Ja. Perfekt. Tack. Då får du använda den här för att komma in i mitt rum. Nej, det var där du kom ifrån. Rakt över. Kan, hinner du det? Ja. Ja. Shall I stand behind this or can I stand here? I have to stand there because the camera is there. Okay. And how do I change? I change it here. Yeah. Mm. So. Pardon? I can start. Hey. Tack. Okay. Welcome to the first lecture in about practical innovation theory. The first question is, what is innovation? It's a word that is often used. People talk about innovations with very different meanings. And some people think it's very important for the future. And for instance, the European Research Commissioner, Marie Georgian Quinn, she said that innovation is as essential to a successful modern society and economy as water is to life. And without innovations, we couldn't have this society we have today. And some other people say that innovation and technology drive everything from healthcare to education to election wins. Another citation is, today the public sector and the public service it provides are confronted by increasing demands, like how to manage the complex issues of democratic, demographic and climate change, or how to respond to users' diverse demands. So without innovations, we can't deal with the upcoming problems and the things we have to do in the future to be able to have a good life. There are different philosophies that you can use when you work with innovation. You can have the dynamic paradigm, that is what we all have been taught at the university and schools in general, and the classic paradigm is based on the Newtonian mechanics, which is quite old. It's in 1672 when he made his proposals, from the scientific management school from 1911 and the bureaucratic school from 1920. It works for controlled and regulated systems, but unfortunately we are now in very complex systems, and for that we need some other views of looking at life, and that could be called the dynamic paradigm. And it's based on quantum physics that was brought to the world, so to say, around 1900. Chaos theory, that was formulated 1970, and complexity theory from the 1980s. So these are the two differences. We have to move from classic paradigm to the dynamic paradigm to be able to handle the complex and difficult situations we are facing in the society. More about complex system. A complex system you can find or judge from that it's difficult to judge cause and effect. So in the Newtonian mechanics it was very easy because you did something and that caused the reaction. But you don't know that exactly when it comes to complex system. Another thing is that complex system cannot be controlled. You can only influence the complex system. They often self-organize and can be very robust and efficient. They are often most efficient at the brink of chaos, which is can sound very frightening. Another thing is that perfect information does not take away uncertainty. So you can collect more and more data, but it doesn't help you very much. You only need to have good enough data to do things. If we look more into this, we can say that in this table you can see some differences between the classic and the dynamic system. In the classic system, people used to plan long term, and people had to follow plans. Meanwhile, in the dynamic system, you plan only short term and have the target in mind, what you want to achieve in the future. That will be as a leading star for you, the vision of what to accomplish. In the classic view, you make early decisions. Meanwhile, in the dynamic system, you make early preliminary decisions and late unchangeable decisions. You wait with the final decision as long as you can, because things might happen in the time between. In the classic system, you reduce the number of solutions as fast or as soon as possible. But in the dynamic system, you work in parallel with many solutions, so you have the flexibility to choose when you are close to when you have to finish. In the classic world, you have the administrative leadership. Meanwhile, in the dynamic system, you have entrepreneurial leadership. People who change the world, so to say. In the classic system, people act on reports. Meanwhile, in the dynamic system, that is a too slow way to get information. You instead use management by walking around to get information from what's going on. You get feelings from what's going on and so on. In the classic world, you document the final solution. Meanwhile, in the dynamic system, you document also experiences and knowledge gained, not only the final result. And in the classic system, the steering group or board is like a judge. Meanwhile, in the dynamic system, the steering group or the board people, they are involved in the work. They feel responsibility for what's going on, not only giving orders that someone else has to do, follow. We can you have heard probably about the term lean. Lean development in a company or in an organization means to improve things as it is, not to make new things necessarily. Meanwhile, new businesses, new ways to work, that is what has to do with innovation. You get also, of course, external input when you make new development. There are some, I want to show some innovation examples. Based on the development, the start can be seen as technological or behavioral for an innovation. Some examples of a technological behavior is a technological development start is ingenious medical devices, hybrid cars, smartphones, search engines. That are some examples. Behavioral innovations, that they are, for instance, Starbucks. Skype is another example. Microcredits were developed to support entrepreneurship, to alleviate poverty in developing countries, to empower women, and to uplift entire communities. Distance learning or e-learning is another behavioral thing, as this is an example of, by the way. A very important behavioral thing is crowdfunding or financing, as we get more and more problems getting the banks giving loans to innovation activities. So crowdfunding is something growing to take care of the problems that that are the result mainly from the financial crisis, when banks has to have much more securities to be able to give money to entrepreneurial things. So then, what is an innovation? Unfortunately, there is no single definition or universal definition. One short definition can be innovations or ideas for new products and or services that have been developed and that have been taken in use or been consumed. It's not enough to make a new solution. It has to be used by someone, sold and used. But within in services, maybe it's not money. It's sold so that someone is using it, maybe without getting any money for it. When it comes to products, we have four different values to take care of in the development. We have functional values. If you buy a car, it has to have brakes, for instance, that work. That's a function. We have sensorial values, what you experience with all your senses. how it the taste of a new product, an expensive car, shouldn't you shouldn't get the feeling of plastic when you sit in it. You have emotional values to take care of, what you feel about the product, and image values, the image. If you want to give the image being very wealthy, having a very expensive car, for instance. When it comes to service values, we don't have so much sensorial values as we have when it comes to a product. Otherwise, it's much the same. When it comes to innovation, it appears not only in the private sector that people tend to believe. We have innovations within the public sector, and we have innovations within the idealistic sector. What differs between these three sectors is that the aim is different. When it comes to the private sector, the aim is a sustainable profit. When it comes to the public sector, the more political sector, so to say, the aim is to give good service for the people in the society. And in the idealistic sector, we have the aim to make a better world. So often, not quite often, innovations appear first in, for instance, the idealistic sector. Open source, Wikipedia and so on are examples of products, innovations that have been brought up in the idealistic sector. And then after some time, these open source solutions are used as the core for some business, and you add some other value, and then it transforms into the public sector. No, the private sector. There is a tendency that these three sectors, that they move together more and more. For instance, football club, it can be bought by some Russian oligarch or so. So when it used to be very idealistic, it moves into the money sector sometimes, more and more, in fact. Innovation initiators can be of three types. You have new insights from debates, from advertisements, from own reflections and so on. Another initiator, it could be new knowledge from research, spin-off solutions in a company, user solutions in someone makes something that you can expand to make a business of, or in inventions done by inventors, and there you have the patent side. Then it could also be challenges. That means needs, wants and wishes. Needs means something that is needed now. We have to stop, for instance, Ebola. Now it's needed. It's not a wish, it's a need. But we can have wish, another wish, that people, for instance, in the future shall not... We don't want to travel so much, we need some other way of doing it and so on. So if you think of mobile telephones, for instance, when people had normal telephones, that was one thing, and then someone thought that maybe I could bring my phone with me. That was the next that became a wish. But when we have gone further, it became a want. I want a better solution for that and so on. So it need is something that exists now. Want is a bit further on, and wish, that's very visionary. For the development, you can do it completely inside an organization. But you can also use people from outside. External knowledge that is fertilized within the company. And it can also be said so that the development within one company can be given to someone else. In that case, it's called inside-out process. In the first case, when you brought in knowledge to the organization, it's called the outside-in process. And then, of course, you can have couple processes when you do both at the same time. That is what is called open innovation processes. In the old world, people were very secret and they only developed things within the company. But today, more and more, we are using experiences and knowledge from outside and to sell information to other companies. It's a good way to speed up and to get money out of what you have done. That was the first lecture. Next time we will speak about the entrepreneur and the intrapreneurs that also exist in the society. Thank you for listening.